Welcome to Public Speaking Superpowers. This is your host, Karma Spence. What you are about to hear was originally recorded in 2010 as research for my book, Public Speaking Superpowers. After going through all this content, I've decided to release these 80-plus recordings as a bi-weekly podcast. I hope you enjoy.
Hello, and welcome to Public Speaking Superpowers. This is your host, Karma Spence. Today, I'm speaking with Billy Arsema. Billy is a speaker with a Cajun twist and has more than 30 years' experience giving seminars, conference keynotes, training sessions, and more. He is the author of the book, Searching for Success, and even has a leadership award named after him in the New Orleans chapter of National Speaker Association. Welcome to Public Speaking Superpowers, Billy.
Thank you, Karma. My pleasure to be here.
It's good to have you. Just so listeners can get a feel for your unique expertise, could you tell us a little about your journey to success in public speaking?
Sure. Actually, it's been an interesting journey that has taken me sort of, I guess, full circle today. I began as a teacher many moons ago, teaching high school science and coaching every sport that you can imagine. But, you know, soon that got to be a little bit financially challenging, shall we say. So I left the profession and got a job as a chemist originally in the chemical industry and spent the next 32 years in that environment, eventually moving into management. And that's kind of where the speaking bug hit me. When I was promoted into management, my company sponsored a membership in a local management group, and there I began to hear professional speakers for the first time. And among those that came and spoke to our chapter was Cabot Robert, founder of the National Speakers Association. So after hearing Cabot and a number of other folks, I kind of got the bug and was a bit arrogant. I remember in my first seminar saying, gee, I can do this. This looks so simple. How little did I know? So as I listened and began to practice my craft, I realized that I had a lot to learn. But I did my first presentation. I worked hard to get a great audience locally in the community I lived in, and all three people showed up. So as I got that humble beginning, I began to realize there was a lot more to this profession than just asking people to come to hear me speak or just try to deliver a message. So I joined the National Speakers Association and spent 20 years while I was a manager building my business. It was always my intent to retire and move full-time, and that's exactly what I did, just 6 months off schedule. So I began in 2000 full-time speaking and consulting the day after my official retirement. And for the last 30 years, I guess I figured out what it is that I should be speaking on. And today I speak on leadership. When I first started, I used to say, have speech, will travel. And you give me a topic, you give me a subject, and I can produce a lesson plan. And I would do that just because I was hungry and didn't know any better. And one day someone gave me some great advice, and he basically said, I wouldn't hire you. After looking at all my wonderful materials that I thought I had, just as that conversation came down to this, he said, Billy, get your expertise down, find out where your passion is, and throw everything else away.
Good advice.
Yeah, it was great advice. Joe Charbonneau was the guy that did that for me. And later on, as I got to be friends with Joe, I recanted the story with him, and his response was, did I really tell you that, Billy? And I said, yes, you did, Joe, and thank you again for being so blunt and so honest. That was the best advice I ever received as a speaker, to throw everything away that you have no passion to speak about and to only speak about the things that really get the juices flowing and that the people will see when you share the information, that you just have a passion from your heart. So I've settled down on something about leadership, whether it's personal leadership for success strategies or whether it's organizational leadership. That's what my niche is. If that isn't what you're looking for, then I need to send you somewhere else. It can be a long time to come to that decision.
Yeah, that can be a hard decision for many people.
Well, you turn away work, particularly when things get a little desperate, shall we say, and you're looking for that next engagement. You say to yourself, you know, anything that comes my way, I'm going to take, but I've turned business down. Now, what I've done is I've expanded a little bit into consulting as well. Never thinking I'd ever do that again, I went back to consulting in the areas that I spent almost 30 years managing, and those were safety, environmental, and quality departments in the chemical industry, and I've gotten a lot of work, actually, in the last 11, 12 years. doing some consulting in those areas. In fact, I'm beginning a project next week with a quality initiative a company wants to put in place. So that's been a good supplemental income, and it sort of kept those skills that I spent many years developing, kept them alive and viable.
Now, given your particular insight, do you think that public speaking is a learned skill or something you were born being able to do, and why do you believe that?
As I think about what you said, I really would sort of take two roads. I think you have to have some innate skills to teach and to share, and the passion that I just talked to you about is critical. I don't think you can fake passion. I think you have to have it in your heart, and it's so easily seen by your audience when you display that. So in one sense, it's got to be a little bit of an innate trait that you have, the willingness and wanting to share. But the skill of presenting, you know, you can learn that. I mean, that's what Toastmasters is about. There are many people in NSA, for instance, who were like the number one Toastmaster person, you know, of the year. So they ventured into professional speaking through that particular cadre of developing their skills. I never joined Toastmasters. I got my licks in front of a classroom with 30, 35 kids, you know, 180 days a year.
The hardest audience ever, right?
You better know what you're doing, I'm telling you. And what I learned with that audience, actually, is don't say what you don't know. So I think I've studied my craft for over 30 years. I've been a member of NSA for 31 years, and I just went to my convention a couple of months ago. I continue to invest in my business because you don't ever learn all there is. It, like every other profession, it's an evolving thing. Things change. The way you present has to change. Technology is now there. PowerPoint has been introduced. I began with overhead slides. So it tells you how long I've been around. So I think you learn it, but you also have a passion, and you have to have an innate desire to really present to people. For me, it's teaching again without grading papers. I mean, I just love it.
Yeah. Now, translate your skills into superpowers, okay? If you were a public speaking superhero, what do you believe would be your main superpowers?
I think for me that the greatest power that I might possess is just a willing heart to serve other people. I can't tell you how excited I get when I'm looking at someone in the audience. I watch the audience faces. That's just part of my energy building process, and I feed off of that. So I'm looking in the eyes of people, and when I say things that I just see, what I've just said has resonated or perhaps really made them begin to think. That's a power that can be awesome, actually, but it also is one that you better stay humble with. So I work on both aspects. I work on the power of persuasion for people to take what I share and put it into play in their life. But at the same token, I try to be very, very careful that what I say is exactly what I want to say, because people will take you sometimes in the wrong direction of where you're headed. And that can be pretty devastating if you really lead people down the wrong path with your message. I think it's important that you become a caring person, one who wants to serve other people. And that's kind of the power that I think I have, honestly. I just love helping. I love transferring knowledge. And I love to see people become more successful because of the help I've shared. That's kind of my superpower, I guess.
You know, what you said really, I think, is sort of underlying the success of so many public speakers, because when you're in the audience and it's obvious that the person up there doesn't care about you, you stop caring about what they have to say.
Exactly, exactly. And that's why I threw away all that garbage I told you about earlier. You know, I wasn't passionate about stress management. You know, I wasn't passionate about other subjects that I've spoken on over the years. And people see that and sense that.
Yeah. And the same is true with writing, too.
Yes, yes. You have to write from the perspective of your audience. We didn't get into it with the introduction, but I've got another book that is totally out of the realm of my leadership model, I guess, in one sense. But in the other sense, it has a lot to do with superpowers of leading yourself. It's a spiritually based book, because I think that's where personal leadership begins, with a strong base. So I kind of ventured in that direction, really, almost unexplainably, but I'm there, and I've written the book, and I'm now working on my third book, which is a pure leadership book. But I think the overall emphasis is stay with what really drives you, stay with what is your passion. I just was thinking about, you know, the superheroes, since you mentioned that. Batman and Robin and Superman were heroes when I was a kid. And if you really look at what they did, is didn't they serve people? Didn't they help people when they were in trouble? Didn't they enlighten them and brighten the way for them? And isn't that what a good speaker can do?
And they were modest. They weren't conceited and all about themselves. It was always about, you know, whoever the victim was, or helping Commissioner Gordon, or, you know, whatever.
Yes, exactly. And that's just what I was thinking about as you brought that subject up, that those are heroes that really exemplify all the things that I've been sharing. They want to help, they want to serve, and they're very humble in the process.
In fact, it's funny that you mentioned Batman in particular, because when I was first coming up with the concept of public speaking superpowers, that first question I asked you, is it a learned skill or is it something you're born with? I always thought of the analogy, if you're a public speaker, are you more like Batman or are you more like Superman? Superman was born with those powers.
Yeah.
Batman developed them. I mean, obviously Batman had some sort of, you know, underlying capacity toward being that way,
sure.
But his superpowers really come out of technology.
Yes, and they both exemplify, I think, the whole spectrum that we're talking about when it comes to being a superhero with superpowers as you speak to audiences. Those are two good illustrations for me that sort of says it all.
Yeah, and one thing also that's common between the two of them is they both are humble.
Yeah, I'm a huge believer. I'm not going to give you a personal example. I spoke in Texas many years ago and was doing a leadership training for school boards, which is a little niche that I've developed my expertise in. And sometimes you, the spur of the moment, you make a what you think is a snide, funny remark. And I made one, and it had something to do with our federal government. It wasn't, I mean, I love this country. I lean red, white, and blue. And it wasn't a derogatory comment. It was just some off-the-wall remark that sort of looked like it was a good place to interject. And when I finished the program, a lady came up to me and she said, you know, you're a very powerful presenter. You're very persuasive. And when you made that comment about, and she went on to explain what I said, you know, some people may take that the wrong way. And what happened that I wasn't aware of when I said it, I mean, I knew it had happened, but the Waco tragedy, where people got killed with the government raids and things like that. And what she was equating my comment to was that people might become like the dissenters that at Waco. And that was never my intent. My God, that would be the furthest thing from my mind.
Right.
To start a revolution of sorts and to go against the government. But she took it that way. And that remark, really and truly, I can say probably was the beginning of my sensitivity to be very, very careful about what I say, how I say things, and to try to realize the impact that my words can have. Have I screwed up since then? Yeah, I probably have. But
well, you're human.
But my awareness is so much higher now. Some stories that I used to tell, I no longer tell, simply because they might be offensive or they might be taken the wrong way. And I think it's a way of staying humble. Just listen to what people have to tell you and taking it to heart. So it's a good example, I think, for us to talk about that.
What advice would you give someone if they wanted to develop the superpower you just discussed? They wanted to develop it in themselves as well.
Well, I think you have to be introspective. I believe one has to have an internal drive to serve, just as I said a moment ago. That's the starting point. You need to ask yourself, am I a willing servant or am I a self-serving individual? There are two distinctive personalities, and the latter has no business on the platform. So I think you've got to look introspectively and say, okay, do I really have what it takes to be a servant of people? Because that's what you are if you're a great speaker. And then what you have to do really is to develop that message and the skill to deliver that message so that you can impart knowledge and wisdom to the audience. You know, audience members are looking to you as a speaker as the expert or the resource for something they're wanting in their life, either it's career or a personal thing, but they're looking for some solution, and we as speakers have to have it. So if you want to have superpowers, you got to work hard at learning what it is you want to talk about and be sure that you're giving the right message, kind of like we just talked about a moment ago on the last question. And then the other thing is that the commitment is to really continuously improve. You know, if you're not born with the superpowers, it means you got to work hard to develop them.
Mm-hmm.
As Batman learned the technology that can help him do a better job, and as Superman has the innate ability, the combination of the two are really the winners and can help you improve as you search for ways to get better at what you do. It really is a never-ending cycle. So if you're not committed to this development process, the superpower will never surface.
Right, yeah. Very wise words, Billy.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Billy, for sharing your information and knowledge and wisdom with us here at Public Speaking Superpowers.
Well, thank you, Comey. It's my pleasure to be here, and we wish you great success with your project.
Thank you. This is the end of today's episode of Public Speaking Superpowers. This is your host, Karma Spence, signing off.
Because this was recorded a few years back, I've cut the speaker's contact information from the recording because it may have been out of date. If you would like to learn more about today's speaker, go to publicspeakingsuperpowers.com/featured speakers and click on his picture. I'm working to keep the information there as fresh as possible.